Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
New Bedford was once known as the city that lit the world, as its whale oil could be found in lamps across the country. The local economy boomed, but those glory days are long gone. Now the city is trying to rekindle its status as a leading light in the energy business through alternative energy, namely offshore wind power. This month, construction began on a $100 million port facility to transport offshore wind equipment to sea. WBUR's Asma Khalid reports.
For generations, water was New Bedford's lifeblood, the source of its wealth. The water is still here, but the wealth is gone. These days, you notice just a glimmer of New Bedford's old opulence shining through the decay. The whaling captain's mansions, the cobblestone streets, the oldest continuously operating elevator in the country. It takes you up to the third floor of City Hall, where Mayor John Mitchell sits.
Yeah, on the eve of the Civil War, New Bedford was the wealthiest city per capita in the United States. New Bedford was to whaling what Detroit was to automobiles.
Mayor Mitchell is trying to recreate those riches. On a chilly May morning, he joined state officials and local union reps to break ground on the New Bedford Marine Commerce Terminal.
One, two, three.
The port is being described as the first of its kind in the country, big enough to transport wind blades the length of a football field. The hope is that it will serve as the hub for the offshore wind industry, and with it bring something this city desperately needs, jobs. The unemployment rate in New Bedford is persistently high. Right now, it's more than 11%. But Mayor Mitchell sees the winds shifting.
The South Terminal project holds the potential for a generation of jobs like nothing that has materialized in the last half century. For a corner of the state that has had its hopes dashed so many times in the past, wanting transformative economic development and not quite getting there, now it's real.
A quarter of the nation's wind reserves lies just south of Martha's Vineyard, and New Bedford is the closest deepwater port. Mitchell says his city is sitting on the Saudi Arabia of wind. The mayor's optimism is rubbing off on Justin Sylvia.
I mean, it's a $100 million project that's supposed to last for 19 months on an accelerated schedule. So, I mean, for 2 years, that looks like that's a steady income and a lot of overtime. It allows you to put food on your family's table.
Sylvia is trying to land a job on the port project as a heavy equipment operator. These days, he wakes up at 3:30 in the morning to commute from New Bedford to Cambridge. He says he would love to work closer to home so he could spend time with his three kids. And he has plenty of friends in the same boat, some who are already going through hazardous waste training so they can find jobs dredging the port.
There's definitely a big buzz. I mean, I know that's the main focus is get as many New Bedford unemployed workers that are capable and trained properly.
New Bedford is already working with Bristol Community College to secure grants that will train displaced workers. And last month, the mayor took a trade delegation to Bremerhaven, Germany. The city looks like New Bedford's European twin. Back in 2005, the German city suffered from an unemployment rate of 24%. Now it's down to 14%, mostly because of the offshore wind industry. But Matt Kaplan is skeptical New Bedford can duplicate Bremerhaven's success. He's a wind analyst for IHS Emerging Energy Research in Cambridge.
For offshore wind in general in the United States, it will have to be tied to creating jobs and to spurring economic development in order to really be successful here because of the premium costs.
Kaplan says the problem is that no matter how strong the wind gusts blow, local utility companies have to be willing to pay a premium for pricey offshore wind energy. For now, there are federal subsidies that help nudge development along, but there's no guarantee that governmental helping hand will always be there. And if it's not, the jobs will disappear. Still, Kaplan says it helps that New Bedford is first in designing an offshore wind-friendly port.
But whether that's going to make New Bedford the one-stop shop moving forward forever for being the only port for offshore wind, I think it's a really tough call just because of the need to really create local jobs in each state that has one of these projects.
that raises the question, how many wind farms will the New Bedford Harbor really help build if folks in, say, Maine or Rhode Island want to offset the high price of offshore wind by using their own ports and people?
I think a lot of folks in the community almost get a little nervous when they hear about something that is promised to be the saving grace for New Bedford.
That's Colleen DeWicke. She lives in New Bedford and also leads the UMass Dartmouth Urban Initiative. DeWicke, who's on a planning board for the city, drives me around town. She points out signs that New Bedford is on the cusp of a revival. New coffee shops, new restaurants, new art galleries.
This here is the city's first hotel downtown in probably some 50 years.
DeWicke says art, fishing, and light manufacturing are keeping the city afloat. And these days, New Bedford is far better off than it was 5 years ago. Offshore wind could be that final ingredient in the city's recipe for success. But
for so much of its past, New Bedford would hitch its wagon to one star, whether it was the whaling industry or the textile industry and then the fishing industry. And I think that having this as one piece of New Bedford's what is hopefully a success story is important, but it's also important to keep remembering that right now people are trying to make do.
New Bedford suffers from a high crime rate, limited public transportation, and poor public schools. DeWicke says, sure, her city could benefit from offshore wind, but it also needs the basics. And she adds, if the city has learned one thing from its own history, it's that a single solution for salvation is not usually the answer. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Asma Khalid.